This is the Cricket Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Full.
Hi, and welcome back to the Cricket Podcast, which happens every time we have a World Cup, apparently.
Apparently.
Well, we have a World Cup, whether you count it or not. I don't care. Purists be damned. We have a T20 World Cup in India going on at the moment. Some people will call it a pre-tournament, but given Bangladesh is playing, I count it as the real tournament.
We count it as real tournament. It gets called qualifying stage at some point and group stage at other points, but really it's just the early rounds of it. It's all the one tournament. It's all together. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I actually think maybe having played a few games to get into it, whichever teams qualify for the next stage are going to come in with a bit of an advantage, being match ready and pressure conditions, and are kind of familiar with the conditions as well. Some of the tournaments already started. We've had already the match of the tournament with Oman beating Ireland in that super close game, and we've had Bangladesh winning a very close game against the Netherlands as well. In the other group, I think Afghanistan have had a very close game against...
Well, that was a close game.
Against Hong Kong, but they won.
Yeah, two overs actually, not that close.
And Scotland were pretty much, I think, quite well beaten by Zimbabwe. And Zimbabwe have also won their other game against Hong Kong, and Afghanistan quite handily beat Scotland. So those two teams are going to play off, and it's difficult for me to tell the two teams apart. I think both are very good. I think Zimbabwe maybe quality are slightly better, but Afghanistan know the conditions better.
Yeah, I think that's going to be it. It's going to be Zimbabwe's had possibly will have a better experience at this sort of level. Mm-hmm. They've been here before, they've done it, they've, been playing test cricket and one day in the T20 World Cups for a while. Mm-hmm. Afghanistan, though, as you say, it's almost home conditions for them. Mm-hmm. The climate will be, there's the grounds, there's the familiar surroundings. They would have played here quite more often than Zimbabweans, so...
And the majority of their team played in the World Cup last year as well, they're... there are no mugs in this level, and they've proven it. And they've also just come off a tournament in the Asia Cup, which I think disappointingly they lost most of their games, including against Hong Kong. So coming back into form is good for them. But I can't call it. I think I'll go with Afghanistan on this one, just because they're the first country in the, when you do an alphabetical order of countries.
I'm going to go with Zimbabwe. Mostly because A, they're the last country in the list. And B, because you chose Afghanistan, so.
Yeah, fair. In the other group, I think with, Oman beating Ireland, it's made Bangladesh's job a lot easier. They've had a tough game against the Netherlands, which they won.
Yeah.
And then they basically they just have to beat Oman now, and they're kind of through, almost.
Almost, yeah. Well, that'll be 4 points. That would be quite.
Yeah,
and Oman could still get there with
Still get there. They've only played one game each. Every team can still get there.
And Oman's got to play Netherlands next anyway. And Bangladesh plays Ireland. So that Bangladesh-Ireland, actually both those games pretty much open up the group. If Netherlands and Ireland both win, which is possible, then everybody's on 2 points leading to the last game.
And then run rates come into it.
Yeah, then run rates come into it. If either Bangladesh or Oman win, that you could almost say that they're the ones that are going to go through. So,
it's an interesting group. Moving on from that, they go into the two groups. I think whoever qualifies from Group A have the much tougher group going into Group 2, which includes Australia, India, New Zealand, and Pakistan.
Yeah.
Australia just coming off a great series win against South Africa at South Africa. Mm-hmm. India, who just won the Asia Cup.
Yeah.
New Zealand, who are in good form, beat Australia in all the limited over games.
Yeah.
They lost the 1-1 there.
One of them, yeah.
But good form in limited overs at the moment.
BMAX retired, so that's going to take some firepower out. Mm-hmm. But they're also going to be...
They're going to have Colin Munro come in.
Yeah. And they're going to be wanting to prove stuff. Mm. A, with... BMAC retiring and then
all the other players. Ross Taylor will be back.
Ross Taylor will be there. Gupta will be there.
I believe they're gonna miss his leadership a lot more than his firepower.
They'll miss both, but yes, I think the leadership and the on-field captaincy will definitely be missed.
Pakistan, I think, are in disappointing form. Bangladesh beat them quite handily in the Asia Cup. If Bangladesh were to qualify and get into that group, they're going to target Pakistan. And I think because of previous record in the subcontinent, they're going to target New Zealand. And if they can sneak in a win against Australia or India, then they're through to the semis.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a tough group. The winners of Group B will beat Afghanistan or Zimbabwe, I believe, have a much easier job because they are in the group with England, South Africa, Sri Lanka, and the West Indies.
Yeah, yeah.
The West Indies, given their problems internally and issues with... They always seem to have, because whenever they don't have them, they've got an amazing team, especially at T20 level. The West Indies are there for anyone to beat, but they're also there to beat anyone on their day.
Especially at T20 level.
Sri Lanka, I think, are still rebuilding. Their Asia Cup tournament hasn't been great. So while you can never count them out in a World Cup, like I said, I think they're still a bit weakened from retirement. They're still in that phase where I think three or four, come the next ODI World Cup, they will be back amongst one of the contenders. Yeah, yeah. But at this stage, they're not quite there yet. South Africa have just lost to Australia at home, but it's Australia, so most teams do lose to them, apart from New Zealand at home at T20. But South Africa have AB de Villiers, and you can't count any team with AB de Villiers out.
He can just go beat the total by himself just about.
And England, which England is going to turn up? Like, they're notoriously poor in subcontinent conditions.
Yes.
They've won a World Cup and won it well. They have the team that can win pretty much every tournament in cricket. Like, they could be a Test Cricket World Champion while being a T20 World Champion, while being an ODI World Champion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The fact that they're just willing to give up on that and be a Test playing champion only just... It's like loser thinking, in my opinion. Like, they have such good players that they should always be targeting to win World Cups in both ODIs and T20s. They should learn from the past. But this is as stable an England team as you can have. There's no internal squabbles.
No, I'm actually surprised there isn't. Normally, especially going into a World Cup, England tend to find some sort of internal problem to bring up. You know? They might have had last year, it was the One Day World Cup, the year leading up to that, they had the least troubles ever, they were fine, and then just the months leading into it just got worse and worse for them.
So, they have none of that, so England can win. Who do you like in this group? Who do you think is going to top Group 1?
I'd have to go with probably South Africa.
And who would you pick as your second?
That's where things get harder.
I almost think whoever qualifies from this group could come second.
Possibly.
Especially if it's Zimbabwe.
I think Zimbabwe might have a good shot. Afghanistan, I think they might have a good team for it, but at the same time, maybe not that experience. I think actually probably Sri Lanka. Maybe West Indies. Sri Lanka. I'd go with Sri Lanka.
Difficult to predict. Every team's very even. Group 2, who do you like as going top of this group? New Zealand.
I was going to say, what are you doing asking me? New Zealand. Can't pick anybody else.
Your second team? India?
I was going to say it has to be Australia, but yeah, India.
At home, India?
India.
You got to pick India, surely.
It has to be India.
All right. So we like that's our four. So we largely agree, I think, over here, I think. Okay. Who do you see as players to watch out for in this tournament?
From a New Zealand point of view, I think both Gupta and Taylor. With the passing of Martin Crowe, they're wanting to go out there and do it for him.
From the bowling side, I wouldn't forget Matt Henry, who's in tremendous form.
Well, most of the New Zealand bowlers, I think, are going with some good form. I think the only ones that...
What about the spin, which is very... Like, in T20, spin is super effective, as we know. Yeah. And in India, it's even more super effective.
I think
Williamson is going to have to bowl, I'm sure.
he'll probably get a bit of a bowl there. But we've taken.
Well, it's up to him if he gets a bowl or not, right?
He gets to choose himself. I mean, these days it's just, if he wants to have a bowl, he can have a bowl, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think actually the three spinners New Zealand's take is probably the three best that we could take from New Zealand. You've got Nathan McCullum, who's got that experience. Maybe not, well, he's not saying he's a bad bowler. He's a very good bowler. Maybe not the best of the spinners mm-hmm. that we've got. Ish Sodhi, he's a wonderful leg spinner.
Mm-hmm.
And with the white ball, they say he's become a bit of a white ball specialist, which mm-hmm. is a bit harsh on him with the red ball, I think, because mm-hmm. I think he'd do quite well.
Yep, yep.
And then you've got Satner as well. And
Satner brings that batting, and I think Satner's almost an automatic pick. If you've got Satner in your team and you've got that extra batting, would you go for Ish Sodhi? Because you have that attacking prowing, that leg spin, which we know can be really effective and get you wickets in those crucial, you know, overs 12 to 14.
Yeah.
12 to 16, you know, those overs where getting wickets can absolutely put the brakes on a team.
I think against Australia and the qualifier, definitely. Against India, I think Nathan McCullum's going to do the job better, because you'll have that a bit more defensive line. You'd be holding up an end
mm-hmm.
and really slowing that, not allowing them to get away. With Ish, just that little bit of doubt about whether he can hold mm-hmm. that good line, and just those batters will be able to hold and wait for that short ball
Absolutely.
To that ball and just put that away and get those six runs from that and work the other ones into the gaps. So, you know, I think that's a horses for courses pick there between those two, depending
possibly, on... Possibly, but given that New Zealand... So in that first game they play against India in Nagpur, you would... Which is actually pretty bowler-friendly ground.
Yeah.
Would you... You'd pick Nathan McCullum rather than just maybe go with Satner and the four spinners and have Kane Williamson as your backup?
That's hard to tell for me.
We don't have to make these decisions, which is great, but...
I know, it's great. I think actually, yeah, maybe the seamers, it's also hard to not pick a...
It's one of these big holes, like we've all talked about McCullum, but I think going into a T20 tournament without Daniel Vettori is like completely new territory for New Zealand,
yeah.
and he basically carried our spin bowling for such a long time, especially in T20s, where he was effectively the best T20 slow bowler in the world.
In fact, pretty much he carried our T20 bowling full stop,
yeah.
because there hasn't been a time when there hasn't... Up till now, when there wasn't Daniel Vettori in a T20 New Zealand side, pretty much, you know.
I mean, if he was in this team, I would basically go Satner, Vettori, done. You've got your batting solid.
That's almost, yeah.
But
the wicketkeeper in between that 6, 7, 8, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. But it's very hard. I mean, I would maybe go with an extra pace bowler. That you're right. I think in that next game against Australia, I would try for the two spinners. But it's in Dharamsala, which is in the north of Bengal. It's got a lot of dew. I don't know. I like the idea of in those dewy mountain conditions to go with the extra pace bowler against them as well, because Australia has shown weakness against the swinging ball.
Yeah,
and
that's what
if New Zealand, if they get to bowl second, then they got to bowl under lights with their swing bowlers and get early wickets. And if they get to bowl first, well, they get their swing bowlers to bowl in the early conditions with the new ball. So I think it's win-win, for them. That being said, I think if you're gonna pick your four quick bowlers like that I almost think maybe you sacrifice Santner's batting for picking a more attacking spin bowling option with Ish Sodhi. Because then he provides you with something different, where if the swing bowlers aren't getting you the wickets, you've got a breakthrough bowler.
Yeah, there is that as well.
Because I think Australia's bowling lineup is going to be a hard team to chase down 180 plus against.
Oh, yes. You know, you want to... be restricting Australia and not India as well.
Not saying anything against our batters, but against that Australian bowling lineup, it's difficult.
Oh, it's difficult. Everybody's going to have difficulty. It's going to be ensuring that the Australian batters don't absolutely flay you around the park.
I think at around 160 to 175, we have a close game.
Yeah.
Below 160, we can get them down. We should win.
Should do, yeah.
But yeah, it's a tough game. Against Pakistan in Mohali, in the Punjab, where Pakistan tend to have the crowd very strongly against them. I think we can win that game. I don't know if we would go with the extra spinner or the extra pace bowler in that game. Mohali is another one of the few good pace bowling grounds in India. So I think we have the stronger pace bowling lineup to Pakistan. Yeah, and Pakistan don't without Syed Ajmal, we don't have the spin against us. I don't know if we would go with Satner, but I think Satner in that game going with the extra batting might not be a bad idea, just to like bat Pakistan out of the game.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's the thing with Satner. You put Satner in, your batting just goes down that extra extra step. He's a real batter.
Yeah.
So it's a hard pick each other. That said, all one day or limited over games that New Zealand's played for the last few years, it's been the bowling that's been the hard one to pick. Who do you leave out? All of them are good enough to be picked, and they're all standing up and delivering when they do get
Salvi.
Picked. Or even Salvi. It's hard not to pick him.
He gives you something extra in the batting, but I feel at the moment everybody else is just bowling so well.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually both him and Bolt. When you think just like last year even, they were, as a partnership, one of the top opening partnership in any format of the game. And this year they just haven't had quite that impact, quite that thing. And I don't know what it is.
I think Bolt is still his old consistent self. With the swinging, the ball will swing for him. And even in these Indian conditions, especially in under lights.
I think in India he would do better. I think in Australia and even in New Zealand against Australia, you heard the commentator say it quite often, he seemed to be down a click or two on his pace from the previous year. He just seems to have been, hasn't quite got back into the rhythm, and something's just obviously not quite clicking right. I mean, it's not that he's bowling badly, it's just that it's not quite there.
Well, so on the other hand, Matt Henry has totally come up and stepped in. For those bowlers, and like he's probably our best pace bowler at the moment, quite easily.
And Adam Milne's also doing quite well.
Adam Milne is doing very well.
He's putting his hand right up there, saying.
And with Colin Munro being able to bat in like the number three, number four in a T20 game quite well, and he's no mug with the ball either.
As I was saying, he can bowl if need be. If you needed something, just something out of left field, just give it to him and let him bowl. He's I think at the one of the under 19 World Cups, he was picked as a bowler, not as a batter. Yep.
And then their final game New Zealand would play is in Kolkata in Eden Gardens, and probably against Bangladesh. It's almost a home game for Bangladesh in Kolkata. That's going to be a tough game for New Zealand to win, I think.
Yeah.
So they're basically playing against two home crowds, effectively.
Yeah.
But absolutely, they can win. I don't know if they should win. And Kolkata is very similar to playing in Bangladesh for the Bangladeshi team in several ways. You're in Bengal. Your pitch conditions are very similar. The home crowd will back you 110%, I think. So we'll see how that plays out.